How excited should we be for Kyler Murray's return to the NFL action here very shortly? Carson Wentz signed with the Rams. That's a thing that happened. And is the tight end landscape suddenly actually looking pretty deep? All that and more coming up on the Week 10 edition of Stat Nerd Thursday. Let's get into it. It's Thursday, November 9th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. It is a hell of a day, a wonderful, truly special day to talk ball. And joining me to do just that is Dalton Del Don. Dalton, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Harmon? I got to talk to you twice last week. Get to talk to you earlier than usual this week as well. How's it going, man?
Things are good. Things are good. Yes. I think we had a good thing going last week with the U 2 days in a row. I'm going to miss it as well. I mean, we've got Scott Pianowski coming up on tomorrow's episode. That's obviously going to be fantastic, but it's always good to talk to you, man. Your haircut looks fantastic after last week.
Appreciate it.
You look good. I'm hoping you feel good, and I'm hoping you're ready for a great show today.
Oh, I'm ready. Let's get to the stats. Let's nerd it out.
Yes. It is Stat Nerd Thursday. That means, you know, what we do here, we give you one stat that you need to know for all 32 teams. We go in order of the projected 2024 NFL draft, courtesy of Tankathon. So that brings us to the Arizona Cardinals at the number one overall pick right now, if the draft was held today. Our stat for the Cardinals: Kyler Murray managed career lows in touchdown rate, adjusted net yards per attempt, and yards per completion in 2022, his most recent season in the NFL that we've seen him play, obviously, before that ACL injury late in the year. Dalton, I had definitely gotten to a point where I was done with Kyler Murray in Cliff Kingsbury's horizontal raid offense. So looks like we are going to get him his first start in the Jonathan Gannon, Drew Petzing era here. And I'm pretty excited to see what he looks like in this offense.
Yeah, Arizona managed 58 yards on 48 plays last week. So poor Clayton Toon didn't stand a chance. Murray, yeah, this is nice news for Trey McBride, who in an impossible situation last week maintained a nice target share. And Marquise Brown, I mean, he really could go suddenly from, you know, leading the league in uncatchable targets to a top 15 fantasy wide receiver. Murray's competent, and one would think Murray's not going to run as much, you know, returning from the knee surgery. So I think it's a nice setup for Hollywood Brown, who was a top 10 fantasy wide receiver over the first 6 weeks last year before his injury. And with Murray, I think he can be very, very productive down the stretch. Murray, I don't know what to expect other than an improvement over what we saw last week with Clayton Toon. Yeah, his YPA dropped last year. He's going to be coming from the injury. It's an audition for him and Arizona coaching staff to see what they're going to do next year and with these possible, a top draft pick.
I think there is a real part of the Arizona Cardinals that want Kyler Murray to succeed this year, to not be in the first overall pick here in a couple of weeks. I think they want him to look, because they obviously are tied to him right now financially. Of course, they can move things around, you know, the whole deal. It is what it is. And like, if they're picking first overall, I think they're just starting over with a new quarterback and they'll trade Kyler Murray. But I think there's a chance that he could play them out of this pick, and I actually think they'd kind of be fine with that. And like you mentioned, it's good news for Marquise Brown, it's good news for Trey McBride. James Conner potentially coming back from injured reserve soon. Michael Wilson, their rookie receiver, I think has played pretty well in isolation this year and is a guy that, you know, in a more traditional NFL vertical offense that Kyler Murray can push the ball down the field to. He's somebody that, Gannon's not super transparent with injuries. All he said was he should ramp up this week. We'll see how the week goes, but he's progressing well. In terms of Michael Wilson, the rookie receiver, they have some offensive linemen too who could be coming back soon. So, look, I'm not saying that the Cardinals, Dalton, are about to be some offensive juggernaut, but if Murray comes back and he is the player he was in 2021 and not 2022, I mean, even in parts of 2022, he was still really good. But if he's that guy, I think there's a chance that there are some real sleepers and proven commodities in this offense.
Yeah, last week, too, not only had to deal with a tough matchup in Cleveland, but Michael Wilson and DeMarcado were both out. I mean, they were down to their, like, number four and fifth running backs on their depth chart. And Wilson has been playing well, even if the fantasy production hasn't been there outside of the one the one game. But James Conner absolutely could be fantasy valuable when he returns healthy. I think they opened that 21-day window. He's not going to return this week, but maybe soon after, and he could be a workhorse easily with Murray and a competent offense. So they could go from being, you know, really ugly performances last week to possibly really helpful fantasy if a condensed, you know, Marquise Brown, Trey McBride, and Connor. I mean, it really could go from awful to rather helpful down the stretch.
All right, we're skipping the next two teams, Carolina Panthers and Chicago Bears, at the second and third overall spot here, and that should tell you we're in for an absolute banger of a Thursday night game. We'll talk about those two teams later. Number four, New York Giants. The Giants rank 32nd in remaining strength of schedule per Inpredictable, which uses future betting markets to predict strength of schedule. That tells you a couple of things. One, the Giants have some tough games coming up. Two, they're not going to be favored in another game probably the rest of the season. Total disaster situation here. Dalton, Danny Dimes, our guy, is out of the mix. Tyrod Taylor, actually my guy, might not play again this season. It's Tommy DeVito. Maybe there's like Matt Barkley's in the mix at some point. I mean, it just, the only other guy we care about on this roster is also named Barkley, Saquon Barkley, but I can't imagine that this is going to be an offense to... Really, the only thing I care about with the Giants is how hard can they fall, right? Like, how bad can this team be? And is Brian Daboll a guy that like is going to survive and not like have his head blow off by the end of this from losing his temper on the sideline? Because he looks like he's about to pop, like blow a gasket at any single moment during some of these games. So it's going to just be a rough. I'm going to struggle to come up with stats for the Giants the rest of the season. Let's just put it that way.
All right. Well, on one hand, the Giants have the lowest projected team point total I've seen in a long time at 11 points right now, 16.5 point dogs to the Cowboys. Yeah, 11 point projected total is as ugly as it gets. That said, can I play contrarian? I said it on our company call earlier and everyone laughed, but in between taking sacks and throwing picks, Tommy DeVito was not that bad last week at all. I mean, I understand that's how is the play, Mrs. Lincoln, otherwise. I get it. Turnovers are horrible for real life, the Giants and sacks, drive killers. But as fantasy managers, we also want a competent quarterback who can move the chains. And DeVito, you know, he got his shine box out and he got 8.8 YPA. He had a positive completion percentage over expectation compared to Daniel Jones in that same game. You know that Daniel Jones was minus 23 and DeVito was plus 3.2. One of his picks bounced off Slayton's hands. The Raiders, quietly, one of the three toughest matchups for opposing fantasy quarterbacks, schedule adjusted. Again, 8.8 YPA. That's moving the chains. The sacks, turnovers, absolutely awful. Maybe he'll go down as the worst quarterback in the history of the NFL, we've seen, but watching that, there were moments there that it's like, oh, this offense may not be the absolute worst. Again, this week in Dallas, it might just be horrific. But tell me why I'm crazy there. You're not into Danny's nephew. You're not into this. 8.8 YPA doesn't mean anything to you. I mean, he's moving the chains there. I mean, that's.
I mean, it means something. It doesn't mean completely nothing. I'm just looking at his college.
Daniel Jones
stats
is really bad, man. I mean, it was. Yeah, I know he was injured, but dude was miserable again that first quarter. I mean, and Tyrod Taylor looked like an immeasurable upgrade when he was out there. So, I don't know. This offense, in my opinion, this offense could look better with DeVito than it has with Daniel Jones. And I guess that's not saying much. Damn him with faint praise, but it's not like anyone's using anyone on this team anyway with Waller out.
Right.
There's no receivers, and you're starting Barkley, who, by the way, has looked awesome the last 2 weeks quietly. The box score doesn't show it, but he's breaking tackles out there and looks really good. But again, he's not a guy you're going to really want to use in DFS this week. That's for sure in this matchup. And maybe my DeVito hype maybe won't age well.
Yeah, I'm looking at just success rate since week 8. Talk about like that's a moving the chains metric. He ranks 39th among all quarterbacks the last since week 8, so weeks 8 and 9. The only other two guys worse than him though are Daniel Jones, Daniel Jones, Brett Rippon, Clayton Toon, and Tyrod Taylor, who only had like two plays here, so really not much there going on. But yeah, I don't know, bro. I don't know if I'm in on this DeVito hype train you're trying to drive here.
Yeah, it's obviously doesn't matter for fantasy, again, because of the rest of this roster. But I don't know. I'm going to be rooting for DeVito and Bajent. If you think I like DeVito, wait till you hear I talk about Bajent Zero.
Good Lord. All right, let's move on to another really exciting team here. Number five, Dalton Del Don's New England Patriots. The Patriots routes run in week 9. DeMario Douglas leads the way with 36, only 78.3% of the dropbacks. Mike Gesicki, 35. Hunter Henry, 35. Jalen Reagor, Dalton's guy, Jalen Reagor, 30. Ramondre Stevenson, 27. Juju Smith-Schuster, Dalton's other guy, 16 routes run. Zeke Elliott, 13. And Tyquan Thornton, what a disaster of a draft pick at 9 routes. I tweeted out this morning, I don't know if you saw it, Dalton, like the career best or the most recent success rate versus man coverage scores for Tyquan Thornton, Juju Smith-Schuster, Jalen Reagor, and I included Devontae Parker just to be mean. You know, you can include 4 images on Twitter. Why not just throw Parker in there too? These guys are all some of the literally the worst separators in the NFL. What a nightmare here.
Yeah, Rager's not my guy. I did hype Juju last week. PPR, 6 catches, 50 yards, but and he actually had a really nice catch on that final drive, but he followed it up with an interception bouncing off his hands to end the game. Mac Jones started out that game by badly overthrowing a wide open Tyquan Thornton on 4th down on the first drive. It was a sign of things to come. Not good, man. At home against Washington, that's been the most favorable for opposing passing offenses, and traded away 2 of their defensive linemen the week before, and they still just couldn't get it done. Ugly stuff. Hunter Henry and Gesicki could be usable in deeper leagues. DeMario Douglas in PPR, but it's just brutal. Do you know that Ramondre Stevenson, I don't believe, had a 15-yard run all season before that 64-yarder was the longest of his career? This Washington defense is beatable. And Mac Jones was beaten instead. It's beginning to think he's not the future quarterback of New England.
I am beginning to share that opinion as well. So that is that on the New England Patriots. Number 6 overall team, Los Angeles Rams. Brett Rippon threw 0 passes on first down in the first half last week. 0. 0 first down passes. I didn't look at second down, but I can't imagine it was much higher. There was a lot of run pass stuff, which is the worst thing, by the way, if you're trying to hide your quarterback, you don't have confidence in him, because you're just setting him up for bad third down situations when you're running the ball like that. Confirmation that they don't have a lot of confidence in old Brett Rippon, because the Los Angeles Rams signed Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz on Tuesday afternoon, Dalton. That feels bad for Matthew Stafford. I know that Rams beat writers and the team says like, oh, he's trending like he's going to be back after their week 10 bye. Do you really sign Carson Wentz if you're completely unconcerned about Stafford? I don't know. I'm definitely raising my eyebrows at this.
Yeah, that is ironic that coaches think they're helping out their quarterback by calling run plays on first down when in fact it's doing the opposite. This is the main thing when I heard the Wentz news was just, does that mean Stafford, his availability? Because it has been positive. The team says they expect him back after the bye, but how compromised will he be? But you have to be, well, I guess, assuming that's true about Stafford, you're happy that they improved their depth here, because Rippon, I mean, what are you doing with Nacua and 2 running backs splitting touches and even Cup 3 straight quiet games? But now you get Stafford back, even if he's 80%, and you get Wentz, who's willing to throw it. You know, his problems are, again, you know, the sacks, the turnovers, but fantasy, he'll at least throw the ball downfield. So it's a positive development overall if you're a Cup Nacua guy coming off just a really down week. I know by the end of the week, people were shying off Nacua, but everyone was still using Cup, and that was just an utter disaster against Green Bay. I mean, that was one of the most unwatchable games of the weekend just because of the Rams' offense.
I'm with you that, look, Carson Wentz is not a good quarterback, and he's not like a net positive for your team or certainly for your fantasy pass catchers. But if the alternative is Brett Rippon, like that's the backup plan, it could be a lot worse than Carson Wentz. And I feel disgusting for saying that, but it is nevertheless the truth. Number 7 overall team, Green Bay Packers. Aaron Jones saw 26 opportunities in weeks 9. That was targets and carries. He had averaged 11.3 in his first 4 games, or in his other 4 games of the season. Well, Matt LaFleur said, I'm gonna, you know, feel comfortable like loading up Aaron Jones with touches. You know, I'm getting him ready to rock here coming into week 9, and he was certainly telling the truth.
I was skeptical because he had been limited the last couple weeks of practice, but that could have been looked at that they were saving him for the game, and they were, and it's great to see. And moving forward, treat Aaron Jones as a top 15 fantasy back at minimum, top 10 if you wanted to. Christian Watson suffered multiple injuries on that one deep pass, chest injury, back injury. I guess he did not suffer a concussion, which is good news, but that just means it could be more work for Aaron Jones. So yeah, it's wheels up for him. Great to see. finally over that hamstring injury he suffered in week one, because this team really needs him with Jordan Love looking so, so shaky.
Pretty ironic that the Packers like made Aaron Jones take a pay cut and all this stuff. Yeah, right. And they literally can't run their offense without him. Like he is the most important player. He's not like, you know, Christian McCaffrey level straw that stirs the drink for this offense, but he's pretty damn close. I mean, and that's like getting them, you know, obviously the Niners, it's like they go from a great offense to an absolute superpower with Christian McCaffrey. The Packers go from unwatchable to functional with Aaron Jones. And it's ironic that it's like, yeah, we're definitely going to make this guy take a pay cut, but we can't run our offense without him. But hey, you know, is what it is. I like Aaron Jones. He's a good guy. So I'm sticking up for him on that regard. But all right. Number eight, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Since their bye, the Bucs have allowed 245 to the Falcons. So, you know, like a Falcons adjusted terms, 245 is a lot. 312 and 443 passing yards the last four games coming off of their bye. This pass defense has turned into one of the most enjoyable matchups for opposing offenses so far.
Yeah, Goff, Ritter, Allen, and Stroud of averaging 9.2 YPA, it's turned into one of the premier pass funnel defense because they're also defending the run relatively well. So, yeah, like Will Levis and DeAndre Hopkins are options this week, as we all just saw how fun it was, you know, for the Houston's offense last week. So, that's just really something here to pay attention to with Tampa Bay is they're becoming a pass funnel defense to attack in DFS and obviously in season long. Obviously, not every week's going to be last week as Houston's receivers were insane. They had four in the top 12, right? Three in the top 12, but that's pretty wild. Two in the top three. And then conversely here, Rashad White, I said, tougher matchup than people are saying against the Texans. 20 carries, 73 yards. But when you score twice and can remain active as a receiver, you're the number one fantasy back for the week. So, man, that guy is getting it done when he was suddenly it just flipped to being so much action as a receiver. And the targets have been there for him, which means even matchups like the Titans this week, you can use him.
Yeah, it's not pretty. It's not efficient. It's not effective at all. But they haven't gone away from him, which is that's usually what happens to these like dead zone backs, right? Like Alexander Mattison, unfortunately, Cam Akers, you know, tore his other Achilles. What an absolute, you know, bad break for Cam Akers there. But, you know, it's like, all right, well, Alexander Mattison's not working out all that much. We're going to trade for Cam Akers, you know, Miles Sanders. Well, it's not working out. We're just going to bench him for Chuba Hubbard. But that has not happened so far for Rashad White, even though he hasn't been an effective option. So that's a good point by you. Just to note other passing matchups on the ledger for these Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Titans this week, like you mentioned, we'll talk Will Levis here shortly. Your San Francisco 49ers in week 11, that should be an absolute fire show for their passing offense. Indianapolis Colts in week 13, Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers. Let's see if they can actually do something against that defense.
Yeah, despite having a couple solid corners, you know, Tampa there, it's just such a good setup. The reason I was getting confused before, they had Houston last week, three top 12 fantasy receivers and a top tight end in Dalton Schultz. So, I do like the, I was trying to say the Bucs, and they're just shutting down opposing backs, have not allowed any opposing running back to get 15 fantasy points in half PPR, 15 fantasy points. I mean, even run down the names, shut down Detroit's running game, shut down the Falcons backs, shut down James Cook last week. Singletary got 3.6 fantasy points and he got a million touches. So, I mean, it's a pass funnel here. Go start passing attacks against Tampa.
And they're playing almost 80% zone coverage too. They lead the NFL in two high coverages and middle of the field open percentage according to fantasy points data. So like that is the perfect matchup for like opposing fantasy quarterbacks or, you know, just opposing offenses in general. You want to stuff the stat sheet? Well, this team stuffs, you know, stops the run really well, and you can, you know, rip them up in like soft zone coverage. Perfect, perfect marriage.
And you want to go even more galaxy brain? Their offense can't run the ball either. It's a lot of plays going back and forth. Tampa Bay can't run it either, and Baker Mayfield's always open for, you know, a carnival game. So it's a really nice setup there.
All right, defense going in the other direction is the Denver Broncos. The Broncos, 80.9 passer rating allowed from weeks 5 to 8, ranks 10th best in that span. They've also given up 98 rushing yards per game, which is, you know, not great, but also not hateful. 80.9 passer rating is pretty good. Two games with the Chiefs in that mix as well. Are the Broncos kind of like, are all of their defensive metrics just basically skewed because of that disaster against the Dolphins?
Yes, and they have quietly, even when the stats weren't showing it, you could tell they were playing better. And yeah, it's an improving defense, one that I'm curious to see how Josh Allen responds on Monday night. I think it's going to be interesting because a lot of people just have locked in that they're a cake. They were so bad, I believe they're still among the most fantasy points to opposing backs. Yes, they still have allowed that because they were just so you know, allowing the 70 points, but they've improved in all areas, not just pass defense. I mean, you look at the recent against running backs, they've really shored it up. So I think it's a defense we should consider middle of the pack moving forward and not just the disaster it was over the first few weeks.
I like that. All right, number 10, Tennessee Titans. Will Levis's 10.2 average depth of throw the last 2 weeks trails only CJ Stroud and Taylor Heinicke. Mike Vrabel announced this week that Will Levis is going to be the starter going forward. Ryan Tannehill will be the backup, which is the only move that could have possibly made any sense. I think Levis, like, weirdly, I'm more impressed with him coming out of the Steelers game than I am the Falcons game, because I think he had to just do more NFL stuff than some of what the stats would show against the Falcons. And obviously Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh is a tough matchup there. So I feel pretty good about Will Levis, and just like, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be a star or anything, but I'm at least interested to watch his progress the rest of the season.
Totally agree. That was a tough setup, short week in Pittsburgh. Definitely missed some throws and showed some limitations, but you love the flick of the wrist, how just easy he can throw that deep ball. And Hopkins dealt with Porter, who's just emerged as this crazy shadow cover suddenly. And now, conversely, yes, he faces a couple. Again, Tampa Bay has a couple good corners, but man, Hopkins should be looking at another double-digit targets in this matchup we just talked about against the Bucs, and Levis is totally game for that. Now, Chig was quiet until the final drive where he got like three or four targets, and I feel like that could become a thing moving forward. And again, against Tampa, who just made Dalton Schultz go crazy. So, you know, really, if you want to hold your nose there with Chig, and is Burks going to be available here? Really, Hopkins
sounds
and Chig
like,
could see a ton of targets.
Sounds like he's not. Sounds like he's not going to play is Treylon Burks this week. I had the under on damn Chig Okonkwo yards for our FFL picks. And he, you know, it was 24.5. I was feeling so good until that final drive and he gets all three of them. But that's the way it goes sometimes. I will say this too. Kyle Phillips led the team in receiving yards. He only had, you know, 5 targets, 4 catches, led the team in receiving yards against Steelers. He's an interesting little slot receiver.
It's a great call, because I feel frustrated. I ended up landing on Noah Brown in a few deeper leagues last week, but before I could really help any readers or anything, because digging deeper into it, Tampa Bay funnels the slot more than any team in the league, not just fantasy points, but percentage of targets. They funnel this. Again, it makes sense, right? On the outside, you got you got Dean, and who's the other corner? I can't keep
Carlton,
forgetting.
Carlton Davis.
Davis. Okay, thank you. So there, Noah Brown, I did not expect him to catch a 75-yard touchdown, but without Woods, I mean, the setup is just perfect for these slot receivers, and Phillips is not as good as Brown's quietly was earning targets. And by the way, Brown had a 40-yard catch in the fourth quarter that was negated by penalty. His day was almost even bigger, as was Tank Dell's, who missed a 90-yard touchdown early on. But either way, like the Phillips call, Tampa Bay attack them with slot receivers.
Oh my God, I'm so disgusting. I'm like desperately wondering what his receiving yard prop will be. Kyle Phillips. Can't wait to see it. Okay. Number 11, Atlanta Falcons. Great. Let's talk about this stupid team. Bijan Robinson has one carry inside the 5-yard line in the entire 23 NFL season. Arthur Smith, of course, made some waves this week by saying that, you know, Bijan, he's a factor when he doesn't have the ball. He opens things up for other players, which is probably true. I know, you know, look, he can't say anything without fantasy Twitter, you know, going ham on him at this point. That's probably true. But I mean, come on, man. One carry inside the 5-yard line for Bijan Robinson. A little more than that would be nice.
Okay. On one hand, it's insane. Yes. Carries inside the 10-yard line this year. Algier 10, Ritter 5, Patterson 2, Bijan 2, Jonnu Smith and Kadarrell Hodge. The same total amount as Bijan Robinson. I mean, Arthur Smith, only Arthur Smith shaves his mustache during No Shave November. But on the other hand, Scott Barrett, love him, man, a contrarian thinker. When everyone's thinking one thing, he's like, let's think of the other side, or maybe let's look at things differently. And guess what? Bijan not on the field, the Falcons 4.95 yards per play. Bijan gets a carry or target 5.03 yards per play. Bijan is on the field but doesn't get a target or carry. Atlanta getting 6.21 yards per play. So,
oh yeah,
Smith is right about that theory of his. So, and the fact that Jonnu Smith, do you remember it wasn't that long ago that people were begging for more targets from him in Tennessee? Like, this is a good player. Like, it's not just some scrub that taking the targets from Pitts. He took a screen and went 70 yards for a touchdown last week. That said, I get why he's so condescending to the media. And Bijan Robinson, you're drafting him high, and you're giving Algier a lower success rate down there, by the way, than Bijan for these short yardage plays. And it's frustrating. He also probably gets unfairly criticized for that week that Bijan was sick and didn't play. We just think in our heads, you know, we got screwed there too. But I don't know. What do you make of this? They're not winning games. I get it that it's fantasy, but it's also at the same time, if I were in Survivor, I'd be screaming too, because I want the Falcons to win. So put your best players, you know, on the field more too. So it's not just a fantasy thing. And then Mr. Barrett points out that when he's, you know, they're higher, the most productive play this year has been Bijan on the field, but not getting the touch.
Yeah, no, look, like I said, he's right about that. I mean, of course, like, it's the same thing when McCaffrey's on the field. And I mean, he doesn't, I'm not saying that the splits are completely right, but you watch teams defend Christian McCaffrey when he's on the field. He's drawing multiple eyes and he's opening things up for other players. That's 100% true. That's why I'm saying, like, if your favorite fantasy analyst is out there like dunking on that quote, they're not thinking. They're not thinking all the way through. They're not thinking about a football sense. And Scott Barrett does a great job of that. Like, from the football sense in this instance, Scott is right that is true. Still, I said this on, and we put the Falcons in the coping corner, just all Falcons players in the coping corner after the People's Panic Meter on Tuesday, because, like, you're right. And I've pointed this out about Arthur Smith's offense before, that, like, the Jonnu Smith plays are very, very good. The Diami Bird plays, like, or Damir Bird a couple of years ago, those plays were really good. The way he opens things up for other players is really good. The thing is, when you're a head coach, you also have to be like, yeah, but we're also going to put our best players in a position to crush on a weekly basis. And he just doesn't do that. And that's the problem. Not even from a fantasy perspective. You're right. From a real life perspective, in the long run, that's not optimal. And it's going to piss your players off. And I mean, like, perfect example, Mike Tomlin came out the other day and said, you know, about George Pickens deleting all his stuff off Instagram and, you know, all that stuff. He's like, it's not even like close to a problem for me. Don't care. He called it like a pebble in his shoe or something. And like, I want guys that want to contribute to winning. Yes, you want guys that want to win, but you also want guys that are going to be a factor in that success. That's what a good head coach does. Not like, well, they don't care about their production. Of course they care about their production. They care about winning, but they also care about production, because when it comes time to renegotiate a contract, you're not going to show the win-loss record. You're going to want to show the stats.
Yeah, I mean, Pitts is not even earning more targets with no Drake London in the quarterback switch. And they're losing game. They're losing a game to a Vikings team that lost its backup quarterback right away. I get that it was hard. They weren't prepared for Dobbs' running. But, you know, he's learning the cadence. He went to the right. They didn't have Christian Darrisaw. Their left tackle went down late in practice. I mean, you got to win that home game against like that. That was a suspicious line all week. And man, the market is just so tight. I mean, it was close spread for a reason, despite Jaren Hall getting the start. Arthur Smith. And even when he is ahead, he just plays he does not play ever put his foot on the gas pedal either. You know, he always plays to keep it a one score game. So he is frustrating.
Yeah. Last note on this, there is a difference between the Kyle Pitts criticism and the Bijan Robinson criticism. Like, I wasn't saying any of this stuff about Arthur Smith last year, because it's like, yeah, Kyle Pitts, good player, but like, I don't think he has shown yet to live up to, like, I'm the fourth overall pick. I think he's a good player. I also think he's not 100% healthy right now. I think that is still the case. But like, Bijan Robinson, like, watch that guy. He is 100% a difference maker. Barrett's stat that you mentioned there shows he's 100% a difference maker, and opposing teams treat him that way. So there's a difference between the criticism here about the two player usage. All right, let's move on from the damn Falcons, please. Number 12 overall team, Washington Commanders. Sam Howell has been under pressure on just 25% of his dropbacks the last 2 weeks, and he's converted, critically, just 14.8% of his pressures into sacks. Those are both top 10 10 lowest marks among quarterbacks last 2 weeks, according to Fantasy Points data. That's a huge bit of growth from Sam Howell. I think it's also, and I have said this all year, a lot of the sack stuff is an Eric Bieniemy problem. I think there has been some positive signs and signals that Bieniemy is coaching to the players he has here, and that's really good from him. And there's been a lot of buzz, Dalton, that like, hey, the Washington Commanders might just keep on rolling with Sam Howell, not just the rest of the season, but maybe into next year as well.
He impresses me. He's getting the ball out quicker. He threw for the most yards against the Patriots this season. And New England, yes, they've suffered some injuries on defense, but they faced Jalen Hurts, Tua twice, Dak Prescott, Josh Allen. He also, Howell had an awesome, one of the plays of the game, of the day, I should say, of week 9, on 3rd and 23, he ran 24 yards. We'll ignore the fact that drive ended on a bad interception on 1st and goal in the end zone. But Hal is a baller. He helps you fantasy with his running. And if he can really continue to improve avoiding these sacks, I mean, the rate was bound to regress. I mean, it was out of control. And now we got Dotson mixing it up. So it's great for Sam Howell. He's playing really well and is a very fun fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, when the quarterback's not getting driven into the dirt 33% of the plays or whatever, Jahan Dotson produces. What a revelation there. So yeah, I think Dotson rostered right now, and I'm looking at this, is 66% of Yahoo leagues. You need to make sure he is not dropped on your waiver wire there. Number 13, Indianapolis Colts. Josh Downs ran just 5 routes before leaving with the injury that caused him to miss practice last week. Such a bummer. He was having a great year. I don't know. I posted some cryptic stuff on Instagram. I hope that Josh Downs is good going forward because, man, that guy is a really good player.
I know you love him, and he's impressed every time I watch him. It's tough news. It doesn't sound great. What a weird game for the Colts just in general, that offense. I mean, not only did they have to deal with 2 pick sixes by Kenny Moore, but they also comically lost a fumble on a punt return. It was just really odd, for frustrating, but Taylor still got a lot of touches, but weird game for the Colts there, and obviously a brutal blow if Downs is lost for a while. Probably an increase for Michael Pittman. He's going to see even more targets.
All right, number 15 team, Houston Texans. This one comes in from JJ Zacharyson. Tank Dell hit a season high 28.9% target share in week 9. He's now scored fewer than 9 PPR points in 4 games this year and more than 20 PPR points in 3 games. Really nothing in between. There's been a lot of volatility there for Tank Dell, but still good player. I just think, like, let's keep that in mind, that there's going to be some ebbs and flows in Tank Dell's production, but you want guys tethered. You want good players tethered to CJ Stroud, and Tank Dell is 100% a good player.
The team can't run, so they're just going to take turns between Collins and Dell. It will be interesting once Woods comes back, but whatever. I mean, Noah Brown's getting targets as well. So CJ Stroud is the truth. Tank Dell's awesome. Again, he could have had a 90-yard touchdown early on last week and still finish with that game. He had another drop, and then he made an awesome catch before his game-winning catch. Guys everywhere, they've given him a couple rush attempts lately. So Dell is at worst a wide receiver 3. Moving forward, did you skip the Raiders on purpose? Come on, man. They're smoking cigars in the locker room.
Oh, yeah. No, my bad.
No respect. Just zero respect. Antonio Pierce coaching debut against his old team. You're like, oh, you've seen enough of O'Connell.
No, my bad. Honestly, let's go back. Number 14 team, Las Vegas Raiders. I'm buying what the Raiders are selling right now. They had a 58% run play percentage of week 9. That is your stat. Antonio Pierce came out and said, like, yeah, we're just going to try to get Josh Jacobs 100 yards rushing in a game. And I kind of believe him based on the way they called plays last week. And I like their play caller. Oh, God, what's his name? Raiders play caller. I should know this off the top of my head.
It's not Scott Turner? I heard that. No.
It's not Scott Turner. Okay. No. Bo Hardgree. Was calling plays against the Giants, and I really was like, man, they're doing some good stuff here. You know, you had Jacoby Myers on like some rushing plays. I think they made things pretty easy for O'Connell. You know, it's not going to be great the Raiders the rest of the season, but I'm totally in on the vibes changing here and some of these guys like having solid finishes to the season, whether it's Davante Adams, Josh Jacobs, Jacoby Myers.
So the Giants are a really bad football team, but they do not have an awful defense, just to be clear there. And Aiden O'Connell went from getting sacked 7 times his first start to 0, you know, so it was a huge, huge improvement there. The story of this game for me is, if you play in a league with bonus, is Josh Jacobs got to 101 rushing yards after having, what did he have at half? He had 18 carries, 85 yards, 2 touchdowns at halftime. Then he finally got over to 101 in the second to last carry, then lost 3 yards on his final carry to go over that under the 100 if you have a bonus on that century mark. Brutal day there, but a big first half. He's looked better the last couple weeks. And O'Connell just not making the mistakes Jimmy G was, is this going to be a help for that offense? And the Raiders' vibes are just so, so different. I don't know what McDaniels' deal is. It's wild with, you know, Pierce giving that speech about the Patriots, but he's not been missed in that locker room.
No, that's for sure. Did you see the video of Devontae Adams on like the sideline of a NBA game? Was it? He's just like, yeah, things are gonna be different.
Things are
now.
Good. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Things are good. Things are gonna be good now. God, they really must have hated that guy. All right, number 16, New York Jets. Zach Wilson's 49 pass attempts on Monday night were the most of his career. Only the third time in his career he's gone over 40. This stat, it means nothing, but I was just watching that game on Monday night thinking, my God, Zach Wilson is throwing the ball a lot. And I know they got down like really quick because of the punt return, or was it punt return, kickoff return? Can't remember, with Darius Davis. Punt return with Darius Davis. I get that, but like, man, they were just throwing the hell out of the ball with Zach Wilson there. And it was tough. Old Troy Aikman could not contain his just disgust at the offense. Peyton Manning could not contain his disgust at the offense on the other stream either. So pretty rough watch.
The Chargers did not. They had two drives that went 25 yards Monday night. I will take the L that I was wrong, and I believe that the Jets were wrong in not trading for a quarterback. I thought they'd make a move. Yeah. I'm just very surprised. Carson Wentz, Jacoby Brissett. I'm just surprised that they kept Wilson. Aaron Rodgers was out there throwing the ball, and you heard him say after the game that he'll be back in a few weeks. Yeah.
I criticize the Jets too, but that is the reason they didn't trade for another guy. And by the way, I'm not saying it's smart to like rely on Aaron Rodgers is going to play again, but you are completely held captive by this guy at this point. And again, it is what it is. You got to do it to get Aaron Rodgers in the building. But like, you know, you got Alan Lazard out there playing atrocious football. He's not even close to like a number two receiver in the league. You know, damn Randall Cobb has been phased out of the offense. The coordinator who's calling a joke of a game in Nate Hackett. These are all these things come back to Aaron Rodgers. And like, you can't go trade for Josh Dobbs and have him come in there and galvanize the locker room, because this is Aaron Rodgers' team. Like, that's the reason in my mind why they didn't do it. And I'm not defending the decision. I'm just saying I think that's why.
That's totally fair. It's the only really logical explanation. Just to think, this team tried to trade for Adams. Raiders weren't picking up their phone there when they were cleaning their coaching staff out on Tuesday. But
honestly, man, thank God, too.
The healthy Rodgers with Adams and Wilson and that defense,
yeah,
I mean, they're
still
the Super Bowl favorites.
You would still, maybe, I don't know. That
defense
line
is awesome.
Brees Hall
doesn't matter with Brees Hall.
I don't even think it's worth it I don't want to have to have there. If there's an alternate universe, like a multiverse where I would have to watch Devontae Adams play 2, 3, 4 games with Zach Wilson. Don't care.
I said alternate universe with the healthy Rodgers. Yeah, no, that would have been. Yeah, I hear you there. But I hear what you're saying, though, Harmon. My preseason AFC pick to win the Bengals. You're saying they look even better than that. Would be Jets team. I hear what you're saying. Boy, the Bengals look awesome with that defense and a healthy Burrow. But I digress.
Oh,
anyway,
hell yeah.
The Jets is what it is with them, and they're stuck with Zach Wilson.
Yes, we'll talk Bengals later, and I'm excited for that conversation. Number 17, the team that the Jets just played on Monday night, Los Angeles Chargers. Justin Herbert is averaging 6.6 adjusted yards per attempt since the bye week, and he has completed fewer than 60% of his passes in 3 of 4 games. The one game he went over 60%, the Chicago Bears, which doesn't really count. I think this is the worst Justin Herbert has played in the NFL. That doesn't mean that he's like terrible now or bad or he was always overrated, but just not really playing good football and not a lot of great going on around him either. I mean, you know, that is certainly a factor too, but I just think like, he can break out of this little funk here at any moment, but man, the surrounding cast with no Mike Williams and Josh Palmer out and like Quentin Johnson just giving him nothing. This is tough look for the Chargers right now.
Your guy Eckler's looking awesome, breaking so many tackles in the open space. But I'll defend Herbert here a bit. I mean, the Jets secondary is so, so tough. And Keenan Allen is, you know, he's nice underneath and to help you in PPR. But where's the separation? And Johnston's not ready.
Brutal.
They really miss Mike Williams. He's playing with the busted left hand that kind of messes with him, too. It's a tough matchup. Really tough matchup, the Jets.
Right. That is definitely true. I saw Ted Wynn of The Athletic say that every Quentin Johnson target feels performative. And I was like, yeah, that sounds about right. All right. A rookie is actually really exciting. Number 18, Buffalo Bills. Dalton Kincaid has 26 targets the last three games and has played 84% and 90% of the snaps the last two games. I mean, actually, by the way, you know, people group in like, oh, he could have taken Jordan Addison, could have taken Zay Flowers instead of Quentin Johnson, could have taken freaking Dalton Kincaid instead of Quentin Johnston if you're the LA Chargers. But nevertheless, Dalton Kincaid, I know he had the fumble, but he looks awesome. He looks like a real win for the Buffalo Bills.
I mean, yeah, you hope Knox doesn't eventually come back and mess this up, but Kincaid's borderline top five fantasy tight end moving forward. Yeah, there's been some real productive tight ends last week, but Kincaid, the usage, it's just so encouraging in that offense. Yeah, Kincaid looks like, again, top five fantasy tight end.
Number 19, New Orleans Saints, another Scott Barrett ref here. Scott Barrett notes that over the last 4 weeks, Taysom Hill has more rushing fantasy points than Alvin Kamara and Bijan Robinson, more receiving fantasy points than Devontae Adams, DK Metcalf, and Calvin Ridley, and more passing fantasy points than Brett Rippon and Malik Willis. I don't want to editorialize your tweet here, Scott. I think you probably could have left off the last line here and still hit the point that Taysom Hill has been awesome and super productive in fantasy. I mean, the fact he has more passing points than Brett Rippon and Malik Willis doesn't move the needle for me. But those first three, couple things there, that's good. That's good stuff. Taysom Hill, like, adding Kalen Saunders into the mix in like this Taysom Hill, you know, package or extravaganza that they've got in this offense, it's actually been really good, really effective, and really hard to stop.
He had more carries than Alvin Kamara last week. Taysom's just taking over in the red zone. He looks good too. He can throw touchdowns.
Yeah,
he can catch touchdowns. I mean, he's a borderline. I mean, I am right behind the top five-ish tight end moving forward. You know, it's sixth or seventh, eighth, whatever, and he'll have some down weeks, but every tight end does. I mean, actually, his floor is even higher because of the carries. The fact he gets so much work inside the five and the fact he's so effective, it's just a cheat code for those starting him at tight end. Just want to briefly talk some trash about Dennis Allen, the Saints head coach. I mean, he weirdly accepted a holding penalty on fourth and two in the second quarter instead of the Bears were having their field goal unit out. Then my guy Bajent Zero runs for a first down on the next play, leading to a Komet touchdown. Then at the end, with 3.5 minutes left, instead of kicking a field goal to go up 10 at like the 20, he went for it on fourth down with Derek Carr and he got stuffed and gave the ball back to the Bears down seven. I'm weird decisions. 7 points, but it didn't matter. They had 5 turnovers to 0 and a missed field goal and still didn't cover the spread, but Saints won.
On the Derek Carr sneak play, I was watching that part of the game and even the announcers kept being like, yeah, Taysom doesn't get it. And then like they kept saying, oh, Taysom, because it was so obvious. If you're going to sneak, just throw Taysom back in there under center. But and then one of them finally was like, I think that was Derek Carr. Like they were even blown away. It wasn't Taysom Hill.
Yeah, they were trying to lose that game for whatever reason. But yeah, my guy Bates couldn't take advantage in the fourth quarter there. But yeah, that was an odd game from the Saints, who continue to just, you know, play far worse at home. It's weird.
It is very weird. They're a very weird team overall. Number 20, Minnesota Vikings, Josh Dobbs, 6.6 adjusted yards per attempt was his best mark since week 4, of course, with the Arizona Cardinals. Man, Josh Dobbs, just the story of the season. Speaking of Josh Dobbs and the New Orleans Saints, how do you feel about maybe if somebody has Jalen Hurts on an absurd amount of fantasy teams, picking up Josh Dobbs and starting him against the New Orleans Saints this week? Again, hypothetical scenario for somebody that's in that position.
Yeah, you like his rushing floor. He was a top five fantasy QB last week, despite not starting the game and not knowing Minnesota's playbook. I mean, he had two of my favorite highlights last week, avoiding this sack and running for a first down, sick TD run. I think he has the second most rushing yards among quarterbacks this year. He's just totally getting it done with his legs. They were missing their left tackle, Darisaw. KJ Osborne left injured. There was no Justin Jefferson. I mean, just a really impressive performance from Dobbs. We know who he is. Once the opponents prepare for him, his numbers look much different. But for fantasy, you need a pickup in this matchup. Sure, why not? Minnesota can't run the ball, and they're coached well, and he runs. So yeah, Dobbs is a fine fill-in.
Number 21, team Dallas Cowboys. This one comes in from Laquan Jones at Real Deal Fantasy. He's the man. Jake Ferguson's red zone presence alone is why I'm a fan, Laquan notes. 14 red zone targets. That's fourth in the NFL. Dak Prescott's passer rating when targeting Jake Ferguson in the red zone. 108. That leads the team among starters. 41 routes run in the red zone, second among all tight ends. 89 offensive red zone snaps, second among all tight ends. Jake Ferguson, I've been saying, is like the second best offense, like skill position player on the Cowboys right now behind CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, we've seen all that red zone work. Nice of it to finally translate into fantasy value. Am I crazy, or is suddenly tight end looking deeper? It's wild. They are emerging, and there's some options. Yeah, but Ferguson should remain a locked in fantasy starter. CeeDee Lamb, I mean, it's awesome. They're making him the focal point of their offense. He was one of the best players on the field last week. Tony Pollard is just a shell of his former self. I don't know if it's the ankle injury, whatever it is. He was robbed of a touchdown. It looked like that lineman did, or I guess the lineman didn't report himself, but Brandon Cooks wasn't targeted until the fourth quarter of this game. So, I mean, it's all Lamb and Ferguson. Pollard hasn't scored since week one. So going into Philly and playing like that was highly impressive from Dak Prescott, you know, who just typically plays way better at home. And wild that the Eagles entered last week, averaging the largest margin of victory, 24.2 points, and defeat, 22 points. They had just one lead change in all of their games before last week. That's pretty wild.
That is pretty wild. All right, number 22 team, Pittsburgh Steelers. George Pickens' target share over the last 2 years with Deontay Johnson, 16%. Without Deontay Johnson, 24%. Saw that from a tweet from Dwayne McFarland. And, I mean, this is 0% surprising to me.
Yeah, that's why I was down on Pickens. It really helps. Pickens' fantasy managers, Deontay Johnson going down. I know that's Captain Obvious, but it's twofold. It's not just Johnson taking the targets. It changes Pickens' role. He went back to that clear-out role and running all those routes that are just more helpful to Steelers than they are fantasy managers. Maybe that changes. Pickens, you know, he should have had a touchdown, and his fantasy stats would have looked much different if he just couldn't get that second foot in despite having so much space. But yeah, he's frustrated. And I see Tomlin, you know, say this is a nothing burger. Pickens will have spike weeks, but Deontay Johnson, you should be ranking, you know, a dozen spots ahead each week comfortably. I mean, he's the target guy. He's even seen ball downfield more, and he finally hit pay dirt too. So,
yeah, I think Deontay is like a top 20s receiver rest of season.
Yep.
George Pickens he's got like a great media hype, stuff like that. And he's a really good player. And by the way, like, I kind of bristle when people are like, get him out of this like clear out route role. And it's not clear out routes necessarily. Like, you want George Pickens running vertical routes because he's really good at getting open and also winning. That's where all his big plays come from, on those vertical routes and stuff like that. You just wish you had a quarterback in an offensive environment that would support two receivers. Like, it shouldn't be that only one of these guys can go off in a given week. You want a quarterback who can, when Deontay Johnson's open on dig routes and curl routes and all this underneath stuff, like, I can take that. But sometimes I'm going to take a shot to George Pickens. And it just, like, you don't have that right now in the Pittsburgh offense. And it's not so much like a misuse of the player, although certainly they could cut down. They could just bring more variety to everybody's routes. It's not just a George Pickens thing. That's like a problem with the team overall. So is what it is.
CJ Stroud, more career touchdown passes than Kenny Pickett.
Woof. All right. 23rd overall team here. Cleveland Browns. This one comes in from John Daigle. Encouraged by Jerome's Ford behind the scenes usage following two full practices to close week 9. 54% share of the running back carries. 58.1% share of the backfield touches, 25% target share. He also ran 22 routes to Kareem Hunt's and Pierre Strong's combined 9. Good stuff there from Jerome Ford, who I quietly think has really nice upside rest of the way.
Yeah, I was hyperactively watched this Browns game, had him in Survivor. Ford is absolutely has the upside to be a top 12 fantasy back moving forward with Deshaun Watson. So on one hand, Deshaun Watson lucked out in his two touchdown passes. One should have been intercepted, went off a player's helmet, up in the air, caught in the end zone. The other was an 11-yard drive that the defense got the ball. But for the running back Ford, you have a suffocating defense. He's taken over the lead role again. And Watson was a huge improvement over PJ Walker. He was off target on passes, but the zip was there. The balls downfield were there. Amari Cooper's flat out been one of the best receivers in football this season. And that's a good setup for Jerome Ford. I mean, Pierre Strong barely saw the field here. So Hunt will steal some touchdowns, but with a healthier Watson, dominant defense, It's a nice setup for Jerome Ford.
Yeah, producer Colin noted in the chat that someone tweeted that he looked great throwing deep, broken, throwing anything short.
Exactly what I saw, 100%. He could not hit these flats and these tight ends. He was just like on the dirt. But the someone posted the, I have it bookmarked, I forgot who, but his all his passes over 15 yards, and they're very good. They're good throws. And you could just tell the zip was there too. It was just, even if the results weren't, the arm strength was.
It will be a very boom bust offense, but they should be running nothing but verticals. Like, enough already with Elijah Moore on the short routes. Like, get him running deep routes. Cedric Tillman played a good bit. He's an interesting rookie to watch. He's a pure vertical outside receiver. So yeah, I think they just need to be like a just shoot the ball down the field offense, and at least they'll be watchable in that sense.
I was wrong about my guy Marquise Goodwin. It was Tillman taking over there. But one thing that should be noted here, and talking about the running, is they're dealing with a bunch of injuries, and Jedrick Wills was carted off in this game. DeJuan Jones is banged up. So they have an awesome offensive line and depth, but it's being tested.
Yeah, it definitely is. That is problematic there. Number 24 overall team, Cincinnati Bengals. Mike Leone from ETR notes that here are the leaders in pass rate over expectation on the season. A clear first tier has formed. One, the Cincinnati Bengals at 9.5% pass rate over expectation. Two, Chiefs at 8.9%. Commanders, my God, at 8.6%. To show the gap there, the fourth team is the Buffalo Bills at 5.6%. So this is exactly the type of Bengals offense we want and need to see the rest of the season.
Yeah, just we all hope Jamar Chase is healthy, especially those considering using them in Survivor this week. Burrow looks
Dalton.
Defense looks awesome. Yeah, the pass rate over expectation the last 5 weeks is through the roof. They lead the league in it. I'm curious, conversely, how the Bengals play their defense, because if they play how they've been, Jacob Gibbs has a good tweet about this, but they play how they had before last week, it could be another money week for the Texans. But if they pull off the blitzing like they did against Josh Allen, you know, this could be tougher for Stroud. So a chess match there between, Stroud, Burrow, this should be so fun. But Burrow, he's taking ball under center more, running around. The average depth of target surprisingly hasn't changed, but I think that will come later. And now T. Higgins is healthy. So yeah, this offense, and just as an ancillary effect, Joe Mixon is going to really benefit here down the stretch as well.
Absolutely. All right, number 25, Seattle Seahawks. This one is from Ryan Heath of Fantasy Points Data. The Seahawks running backs over the last two games: Kenneth Walker, 87 yards from scrimmage, 17 rush attempts, 4 targets. Zach Charbonnet, 77 yards from scrimmage on 9 rush attempts and 3 targets. Charbonnet has 3 of the 4 red zone carries so far this year. This is looking like a straight up committee, man, and like just is what it is.
All right, so I haven't written the article yet, but I do want to talk about Kenneth Walker here. For sure, Charbonnet is going to be more involved, but it's a lot of the passing situations, and it must be noted that the last 2 weeks, one, Kenneth Walker was injured and didn't practice, and last week, the score got completely out of hand. This week could be very different, as 7-point favorites at home against the Washington defense that allowed, you know, Stevenson's first run to 15 yards all season last year. So while Charbonnet is definitely a problem, and he's even getting about 3 of the last 4 red zone carries, I think Walker's still the guy at the goal line, and he could break, you know, long runs. And I think he's going to be a top 15-ish fantasy back still moving forward. JSN's going to help this offense, his emergence. I think he'll be fine. And, you know, Charbonnet's absolutely a mustache and would be a monster if Walker got hurt. But I still think he's going to be more like a running back 36 and Walker running back 15 type thing. Does that make sense, or am I off base? Okay.
I think that totally makes sense. Charbonnet is a fine flex, and I still think Walker is a running back too, but he's just not going to have that same ceiling that he did to start the year.
Yep, fair.
All right, number 26 overall team here, San Francisco 49ers. Only quarterbacks that have a higher turnover-worthy play rate than Brock Purdy so far this season, according to PFF. Tyson Bagent, your guy. PJ Walker, Gardner Minshew, Mac Jones, and Desmond Ridder. But also, like, I don't care. I kind of like that Brock Purdy. Yeah, he's going to throw some balls that the other team can get, but like, you want him taking chances in this offense, Dalton, yes or no?
Yeah, I'm fine with it too. You hope that the concussion didn't affect him last game, and his last two picks are fresh in our minds. But yeah, get Debo back. Purdy had high turnover worthy plays even last year in his success. People kept pointing out how lucky a lot of the non-interceptions were, but so it's not entirely shocking. I think this offense would suffer a possibly dramatic downgrade if it switched to Sam Darnold, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I the bye came at the right time. This will be a fun game. So I think two things are happening here, though. I think the Niners are much better than people realize coming off a weird game in Cleveland and a Cincinnati team that might be the best in football right now. And then a weird one in Minnesota before Cousins went down. And that Minnesota team has crazy underlying metrics that are, are better. But they're facing a Jacksonville team, crazy underrated defense. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is on pace to throw 19 touchdowns this year, but that defense is, I think, third in DVOA, but also just the eye test and watching them. I think this, so two things are happening here. The Niners offense, we're all expecting a bounce back. But again, they, for the four straight game, they're like, crap, it's not the right time for some explosion.
I think that is a very like show us who you are type of game between those two teams coming off bye. And I can't wait to watch it. That's one of the most,
I think like, I might be more every team, every opponent for the Niners has to be a bye the week before. I believe that's the one mandate of the
what
season.
A scandal.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah. Go
what
ahead.
A scandal. Somebody should look into that.
Jacksonville is a tough opponent. It's going to be a fun one. but Brock Purdy absolutely could be picked off this week.
Number 27 overall team, Miami Dolphins. They're averaging a mere 80 rushing yards per game the last 3 weeks, 26th in EPA per rush and 15th in success rate in that span. This vaunted Dolphins run game has suddenly looked a little bit toothless. Raheem Mostert had a couple of good plays in the second half, but other than that, it's been pretty rough the last 3 weeks.
The Dolphins 0-3 against teams with a better than 500 record, 6-0 against teams with a losing record. I think I heard a crazy stat. They haven't beat a team with a winning record since like week 3 of last season. Don't quote me on that one, though, or don't fact check anything I say. Be safer that way. Mostert is had a great season, but he's also dealing with Achan's imminent return. So, I think falls out from, it'll take another injury for him to go back being an RB1, but the guy can break a big play at any moment, and the Dolphins' offense remains explosive, if not overly matchup dependent.
We're going to spend too much time on this team because you kind of just talked about them. 28th overall, Jacksonville Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence, 14th in EPA per play and 7th in success rate so far this year. To me, again, success rate being like consistency down to down. I think that they've been solid down to down. There just hasn't been a ton of like big, big plays in the past game. There's been a little more, you know, just volatility there, and that's where the EPA comes in. I think this team's going to be fine going forward.
Curious to see where Trevor Lawrence goes. I mean, is he continue to kind of put up underwhelming numbers? Does he reach the status we all expect? He's been very fine as a real player. Disappointment as a fantasy player this year. Love to see what ETN's doing. I do worry that ETN cannot withstand this workload. Man, I love him. But this is a little too much for, I mean, it's a lot. But coming out of the bye, Niners have been more vulnerable against the run. So, ETN, you're locked in again as a top five back.
Yeah, he's been great in fantasy. Their volume metrics have been really good, like running overall. But, you know, he's averaging under 4 yards per carry. He's been, I think he's been really good this year. But I do wonder if, like, some of the reason that their run game is, like, 26th in success rate is because of, like, just issues holding up to this workload. So I would be great if Tank Bigsby was actually good. That would be awesome for them. Number 29, Detroit Lions. Jahmyr Gibbs has touched the ball 69 times in the 3 full games without David Montgomery, but it sounds like David Montgomery is pretty close to coming back. What do you expect this backfield split to look like with both of them active?
Something close to 50-50 with Montgomery getting the goal line touches and Gibbs more targets. You're starting both against the Chargers, assuming Montgomery is good to go. I mean, one of the highest totals of the week indoors, shaky defense, Lions getting healthy. Amon Ross seeing all those targets. So, I mean, I have them ranked back-to-back right now, the cop-out. I mean, is that they're both lock-in starts, borderline top 15 backs. Watch your eyebrows, Austin Eckler.
Nobody loves the hedge ranking more than me, so I love it. That's going to be
you
great.
You can appreciate that one. Okay, good.
Yes, I can. Number 30 overall team here, Baltimore Ravens. Keaton Mitchell, Gus Edwards, and Justice Hill all had equal four carries in the first half of that blowout win in against Seattle. Excuse me. I think Keaton Mitchell's here to stay, man. I think he looks good, and he was a part of that game plan. Justice Hill was kind of the guy that was out there in garbage time late in the fourth quarter.
He was also out there a little bit earlier, too, but Justice Hill for sure has less upside than Mitchell. Finally, Keaton Mitchell season. I'm sick to my stomach, Harmon. I'm a top 30 team in primetime, and I had so many buys last week. I dropped Mitchell. It's gross.
Oh, no.
I have Edwards, too. It's bad. I mean, ETN, I'm only in an all receivers, so it's like I need a number two back. It's gross. Gus Edwards had 4 carries for 10 yards at halftime last week and 1 touch after halftime. yet he was a top 10 fantasy back with that because he scored two touchdowns, and then that one touch was a 42-yard run in the second half. But these three backs shared running back touches in the first half, all had 33%, Mitchell, Edwards, and Justice Hill. Mitchell is smallish, so I don't think he's going to be a factor at the goal line when you have Edwards and Lamar Jackson as alternatives, but million times more explosive than Justice Hill, should be added in all fantasy leagues. Don't spend 10% on him. Go ahead and spend 80% of the rest of your fab at this time of the year on Keaton Mitchell, because he could be, you know, what if Edwards gets hurt? I mean, this is an awesome offense, maybe the best team in football. That's a strong argument. The Baltimore Ravens are the best team in football, and they're not really an explosive passing offense either. So great setup. Keaton Mitchell could be explosive, fresh legs, has million yards his last 2 years in college. So yeah, add Mitchell and don't be an absolute fool like me and hold him for weeks and then drop him the week before he explodes.
Alas,
I have him in many other leagues, but the one I care the most about, of course, had to drop him. But Keaton Mitchell season, he went a little better than my Chris Brooks hype, but yeah, Keaton Mitchell season.
Now you're making me think. I know I had him on one roster. This is definitely what people want in their podcast, but I know I had him on one roster, and I wonder if I dropped him. I might have ended up dropping him too. Oh, nope, I didn't. Wow, shout out to me. Okay, but that's only one team. So, all right, there you go. All right, number 31 team, Kansas City Chiefs. Travis Kelce's 63.9% successful play rate is actually higher than his 2022 mark of 63.2%. I think Kelce's been really good this year. I'm not doing the whole, like, is Travis Kelce slowing down? I mean, maybe he's a little slower, but still, very impactful player. And the tight end one rest of the way for me.
Yeah, the tight end one rest of the way. Weird, the Taylor Swift's splits with her in attendance are not continued. At what point does that move the line? Rashee Rice is emerging as the run receiver there, but he's running the same route, as you said, and they're still just splitting work there. It's weird. They won last week. I said, you know, Patrick Mahomes is going to bounce back, but no, it was more on defense. I mean, the defense is legit. I still expect Mahomes to turn it around. Kelce's just so reliable. Chiefs are going to be, you know, a Super Bowl threat, but right now that offense is struggling, unlike any time we've seen in recent memory with the Reed Mahomes combo.
Number 32 overall team, Philadelphia Eagles. DeAndre Swift has 19 carries inside the 10-yard line this year. Kenny Gainwell has 8. Gainwell has run 5 routes to just 1 for DeAndre Swift so far this year. This is emerging as a little bit of a problem, and I mean problem like in a big quotation sense there, problem, because of how late you drafted DeAndre Swift. You shouldn't be complaining about it. He doesn't have running back one upside with this usage combined with the whole tush push thing, but I think he's still comfortably a running back 2 in fantasy.
Yeah, on one hand, he got just 2.4 yards per carry last week, fumbled twice, lost a touchdown to Kenneth Gainwell. On the other hand, he didn't lose either of those fumbles. One wasn't even his fault. AJ Brown ran into him, and Swift also saw the second most carries in a game all season. But yeah, so what do you think that quarterback push is actually worth? I was thinking, I think it might be worth 1 to 3 full points. I mean, you're stealing a down multiple times. I mean, I might be worth 3 full points, the ability to have that QB push. Devonta Smith, with my other takeaway real quick about the Eagles, without Dallas Goedert, his numbers, you know, were dramatically increased last year. So that's really helpful with him on IR. That's assuming Albert O season doesn't come to fruition here.
Ooh, your guy, Albert Zero. What do we think? Before you talk about that, yeah, just to put a pin on the Smith thing, Devonta Smith target shares over the last 2 years with Dallas Goedert, 23%. Without Dallas Goedert, it's 30%. So yeah, that should be good for him. But hey, your boy Albert Zero, is he back?
I think we went over enough intriguing tight end options that we can probably Jack Stoll will probably end up getting more work than Albert Zero. But I absolutely, Devonta Smith is a guy look to trade if people don't realize that in fantasy leagues, because what do you have, 2 targets last week? So talk that up and go after Smith with no Goddard for the next foreseeable future.
All right, on that note, let's get to Thursday Night Football. Carolina Panthers and Chicago Bears. As of the time we're taping this, the Bears are 3.5-point favorites. There's a mere 40-point total. But Dalton, I don't have stats for this one because, like, what do you want, a stat on the Panthers? Who cares? And really, people just want to hear your take. This hot, sizzling love affair you have for your guy, Tyson Bagent. He of, like, what, 100 turnovers last week in New Orleans. So tell us, Dalton. Tyson Bagent, Thursday Night Football. It's on Amazon Prime, baby. What are we doing here?
Tyson Bagent had 148 yards, 2 touchdown passes, and led Chicago with 60 rushing yards at halftime. He was getting 11.4 YPA. Now, he didn't do much afterward, but this is a sign of progress, man. I mean, he's moving the ball in New Orleans with just very, very little help. I mean, DJ Moore was losing fumbles. Tyson Bagent, in the first three quarters over the last 3 weeks, 98.6 passer rating, 0.18 EPA per pass. It was ranked fifth out of 17 quarterbacks in three starts over that stretch, behind only Jalen Hurts, Jackson, Mahomes, and Herbert. Yeah, the fourth quarter counts, but the point is, the kid can play, and he shows flashes, and in my opinion, we have not heard the end of Bagent Zero, T-Bag. I don't know what's going to happen, Justin Fields or him Thursday night, but we have not heard the end of Tyson Bagent. I believe the kid can play some football.
Okay. I mean, he is a viable NFL quarterback that is not like embarrassing to see on the field. Is that fair? I mean, I don't
I'll
think he
take
is.
It. I'll take it. Yeah. No,
are you
maybe,
saying, when you say you, we haven't heard the last, are you saying there's like, he's going to,
I think he's going to have to replace Fields injured again and win some football games. Like long-term starter, probably not, but I'll have a long-term backup. He'll be in the league 8 years as a backup.
Okay.
Which is pretty good. Right. So considering the last opponent he had in college was a school of mimes.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, it's definitely better than that.
School of Mines, by the way. I know people say mimes, but School of Mines was the literal opponent of his last in college football. Tyson Bagent, you know, the dad, 19th time arm wrestling champion. I feel like you're picking up what I'm putting down here. You're unimpressed. At halftime, the dude was lighting the world on fire. Come on, he nearly won that game in New Orleans. Five turnovers
shame, though,
to nothing.
It's a shame that they have
that
to
they
play,
have
the
to play
half.
That second half. Okay, here, let me just say this. Would you rather a guy have 11.5 YPA than the bed in the fourth quarter, or would you rather have a guy have a 6-point YPA the whole time? What's more interesting to you? Do you get what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I get it that the defenses are adjusting and stuff, but to me, the fact that he's showing these flashes and doing this on the road with, you know, Darnell Mooney's out there making plays. I mean, that's, you know, Cole Kmet made a beastly catch, I will say, but he's throwing dimes out there over that, on that over shoulder throw, man. Put some respect on Bagent's name.
He has been fine. I think Chris Collinsworth jumping the shark during the Sunday Night Football broadcast, like, that's some teach tape right there that they're going to be showing Justin Fields. I don't know about that. I don't know if Justin Fields,
he could learn a thing or two sitting watching Tyson. Let me tell you, play that quarterback position.
Okay. All right. Anyways, so on this particular matchup, hey, it's a great spot for Bagent fever to keep on going here, because the Panthers are a non-serious operation. And now Brian Burns is not going to play in this game. So Bagent is interesting. Who's going to have a better fantasy day, Bagent or Josh Dobbs? Since we talked about him earlier.
Oh, man, yeah. Dobbs because of the running. Although Bagent runs too. I'd probably lean Dobbs there on that matchup. But yeah, okay. The fact that Bajan's going to immediately play on this Thursday night and probably fall on his face is pretty perfect here, but you're starting Kmet if it's Bagent. Well, either way, but Kmet really wants Bagent here, because, man, his target share has been way up, not just last week and in the end zone looks, but compared to Fields. And yeah, Moore's not seen as many looks downfield, but I don't know if it dramatically affects him. But we're just guessing here with Fields, and if he's not back this game, it will certainly be, you know, shortly after. They're going to turn back to Fields. He's going to help your fantasy team running, and we're all just kind of guessing with the grip and the thumb situation.
I definitely think Bagent is a downgrade for DJ Moore, which is a shame, because this should be DJ Moore's revenge game. Like, hey, remember me? I could really be helping out your rookie quarterback you got over there if you just should have traded Brian Burns instead of DJ Moore. But hey, what can you do? And that number one overall pick package. I don't know, man. I mean, I'm not very interested in this game. I'm not very interested in this game, but it is what it is. Hey, the Bears running back split. We might get Khalil Herbert back this week in this one.
I hear you. It's not. Yes, that's another factor. We have no idea there. But if not, Foreman was the guy. But yes, if Khalil Herbert, he just might really make that a tough one. And then, Bryce Young, 2 pick-sixes last week was not good. It was a huge setback. Frustrating. Adam Thielen, it was a tough matchup, man. His target rates dropped 13% when facing man. The Colts use a ton of that. You know, where did the Bears stand there? Pretty middle of the pack.
Bears are pretty zone heavy.
Yeah.
They're 7th most zone coverage.
Oh, yep. Yeah, they're zone. So maybe we see more back to Thielen getting the targets. But But yeah, man, taking Bryce Young over CJ Stroud is not looking ideal right now.
No, it is not. I don't have anything else to say on this game. Do you?
Chuba Hubbard was dominating work and then fumbled and saw Miles Sanders get really involved in the second half. Sanders had one carry at halftime, but four touches on the opening drive afterward. Hubbard did finish with the healthy 22 opportunities, but I think Sanders is going to be back getting touches, which is tough and arguably the league's worst offense. So, and then their committee at tight end too with Tremble and even Sullivan getting involved there. They're like both ahead of Hurst or at least on par with Hurst just blocked. So it's really not a great fantasy situation at all with the team scoring no points. It's just Thielen racking up the targets in PPR.
What a treat. Can't wait to watch this. And I'm going to watch all of it because I'm a sicko. But for now, that's going to do it. Dalton, hell of a show. Appreciate you, buddy.
Appreciate you, Harmon. Thanks for humoring me with all my horrible backup quarterback defense.
Hey, man, you stuck up for Tyson Bagent. You stuck up for Tommy DeVito. If not you, who was going to do it? So, you know what? Shout out to the real thanks goes to you for sticking up, being a voice for the voiceless of the backup quarterback regime there. So good for you.
Thanks, Harmon. Good times, man.
All right. Tomorrow, we'll be back. We'll set the stage for week 11 with the games you need to binge, stream, and skip. Scott Pienowski joins me for that. Hype for it. Until then, we're out.